Chapter 79. Zaylee.
He's supposed to be safe. This one thought keeps me from accepting the truth. I scan the guards for Mama Agba's wrinkled form, waiting for her attack. If Baba's with the guards, where is she? What did they do to her? After everything, she can't be dead. Baba can't be standing here. Yet he trembles under Inan's grip. Ripped clothes, gagged, bloodied face. They've beaten him for my mistakes, and now they'll take him. Just like they took Mama.
Inan's amber eyes trap me in the truth of his betrayal, but it isn't the gaze I know. He's a stranger, a soldier, the shell of the little prince. I assume the situation speaks for itself. But since your people are daft, I'll break it down. Relinquish the artifacts, and you can take your father back. Just the sound of Saran's voice closes the metal chains against my wrists. I wouldn't be doing my job as king if I didn't remind you what you are. He stands clothed in rich purple robes, defiance in his snarl. But even he looks small against the statues of gods staring him down. We can take him, Kenyon whispers from behind. We have our magic. They only have gods. We can't risk it. Zane's voice cracks. Baba gives the slightest shake of his head. He doesn't want to be saved. No. I step forward, but Kenyon grips my arm, whipping me around. You can't surrender.
Let me go.
Think of someone other than yourself. Without the ritual, all the diviners will die.
We're already dead, I shriek.
My voice echoes against the dome, revealing the truth I wish I could change.
Gods, please.
I plead one last time, but nothing happens. They've abandoned me once again. My magic's gone. I thought it would come back, but it hasn't. My voice shrivels and I stare at the floor, biting back the shame, the anger, the pain. How dare the gods force themselves back into my life only to break me this way? Against everything, I try once more, searching for any remnant of Ashe that might remain. But they've discarded me. I won't let them take anything else away. I'm sorry. The words are hollow, but they are all I have. But if I can't do the ritual, I'm not going to lose my father. Kenyon unhands me. Hatred doesn't begin to describe the looks I receive from the gathered men. Only Amari's eyes are sympathetic. Even Rowan looks taken aback. I step forward, clutching the sunstone and scroll to my chest. The bone dagger presses into my skin, almost cutting with every step. I'm halfway across the floor when Kenyon yells, "We saved you!" His screams bounce against the walls. "People died for this! People died for you!" His words dig into my soul, into everyone I've left behind. Bisi, Lekan, Zuleika, maybe even Mama Agba. All dead. Because they dared to believe in me. They dared to think we could win. As I approach Inan, Baba's shaking grows frantic. I can't let him break my resolve. I don't want them to win, Baba. But I can't let you die. I clench the stone and scroll as Inan moves forward, gently guiding Baba ahead. The apology is stark in his amber eyes. Eyes I'll never trust again. Why? I itch to scream, but it withers in my throat. With each step, the echo of his kiss presses against my lips and travels down my neck. I stare at his hands on Baba's shoulders, hands I should have crushed.
I swore I'd die before I let a guard have his way with me. Yet I gave their captain free rein. I know we are meant to work together. We are meant to be together. His pretty lies play in my ear, each new one drawing more tears. We'd be unstoppable, a team Orisha has never seen. Without him, Ilorin would still stand. Lekan would be alive. I would be here saving my people, not sealing their fate. As my tears burn, my insides rip raw. It's worse than the searing of Saran's knife. Despite everything, I let him in. I let him win. Baba shakes his head one last time. My last chance to run away. But it's over now. It ended before it even began. I pull Baba out of Inan's grip, dropping the parchment and stone on the floor. I almost reach for the bone dagger, but then I remember Inan has never seen it. I toss out Zane's rusted knife instead, keeping the true bone dagger hidden in my waistband. I can hold on to this one thing, this one artifact, now that he's taken everything else from me. Zeli. Before Inan can mutter another treacherous word, I take off Baba's gag and walk away. As my footsteps echo against the ritual ground, I focus on the statues instead of the hateful glares. Why? Baba sighs. His voice is weak but rough. Why? When you were so close.
I was never close. I choked down a sob. Never. Not even once. You tried. I console myself. You did more than your best.
It wasn't meant to be. The gods chose wrong. At least it's over. At least you're alive. You can leave on that boat, find a new...
No!
I freeze as Inan's cries ring against the dome walls in a deafening timbre. Baba throws me to the ground as a swoosh flies through the air. I move to shield Baba, but it's too late. The arrowhead pierces my father's chest. His blood leaks onto the ground. Chapter 80. Zeli. When they came for Mama, I couldn't breathe. I didn't think I would ever breathe again. I thought our lives were connected by a string, that if she died, I would too. I hid like a coward as they bludgeoned Baba half to death, relying on Zane to be my strength. But when they wrapped the chain around Mama's neck, something in me snapped. As frightened as the guards made me, nothing compared to the terror of them taking Mama away. I chased her through the chaos of Ibadan, blood and dirt splattering against my small knees. I followed her as far as I could until I saw it, all a bit. She hung from a tree like an ornament of death in the center of our mountain village. Her and every other magi, every threat to the monarchy crushed. That day I swore I'd never feel that way again. I promised they'd never take another member of my family. But as I lie paralyzed now, blood drips down Baba's lips. I promised. And now I'm too late. Baba? Nothing. Not even a blink. His dark brown eyes are empty, broken, hollow.
Baba, I whisper again.
Baba! As his blood spreads onto my fingers, the world goes black and my body grows warm. In the darkness, I see everything.
I see him.
He runs through the streets of Calabria, kicking an Agbon ball through the mud with his younger brother. The child in him has a smile Baba never had, a grin ignorant of the world's pain. With a hearty kick, the ball bounces away, and Mama's young face appears. She's stunning, radiant. She takes his breath away. Her face fades to the magic of their first kiss, the awe of their firstborn son. The awe blurs as he rocks his baby daughter to sleep, running his hands over my white hair. In his blood, I feel the moment he woke after the raid, the heartbreak that never ceased. In his blood, I feel everything. In his blood, I feel him. Baba's spirit tears through my being like the earth ripping in half. Every sound rings louder. Every color shines brighter. His soul digs deeper into me than any magic I've ever felt. Deeper than magic at all. It's not incantations that run through my veins. It's his blood. It's him. The ultimate sacrifice. The greatest blood magic I could wield.
Kill her!
The first two guards charge at me, swords pointed and raised. They run with a vengeance. The last mistake they will ever make. As they near, Baba's spirit tears from my body as two sharp, twisting shadows. The darkness wields the power of death, commands the power of blood. They pierce through the soldiers' breastplates, skewering them like meat. Blood splatters into the air as dark matter spills from the holes in their chests. The men choke on their last breaths, eyes bulging in defeat. They wheeze as their bodies crumble into ash. More. More death. More blood. The blackest part of my rage finally has the power it's always craved. The chance to avenge Mama. Now Baba. I'll take these shadows of death and end them. Each and every one. No. Baba's voice rings in my head. Steady and strong. Revenge is meaningless. There's still time to make this right.
How?
I peer through the frenzy as Rowan's crew and Kenyon's team lunge into battle. Revenge is meaningless, I repeat to myself. Revenge is meaningless. As the words settle, I see it. The one person running away from the fight. Inan scrambles for the rolling sunstone, through the madness, dodging the blades of Rowan's men. As long as we don't have magic, they will never treat us with respect. Baba's spirit booms. They need to know we can hit them back. If they burn our homes, I burn theirs too.
Chapter 81. Inan. The girl I held in my sleep is nowhere to be seen. In her place, a monster rages. It bears fangs of death. Two black shadows shoot from Zeli's hands and hurtle forward like venomous snakes, hungry for blood, vengeance. They pierce through the first two guards. Then something in Zeli's silver eyes clicks. Her gaze homes in on me. The sunstone glows in my hand. I barely have time to draw my sword before the first shadow attacks. Pointed like a saber, it clashes against my sword, recoiling through the air. The next attack comes in fast, too fast for me to block.
Prince Inan!
A guard lunges forward. He trades his life for mine. The shadow pierces through his body. He wheezes before turning to ash. Skies! I retreat into the insanity. Her shadows rear back for another attack. As I run, she chases after me. Her sea-salt soul rages like an ocean storm. Even with the sunstone surge, I can't stop her.
No one can. I'm dead. I died the moment her father hit the ground. Skies, I fight my own tears back. Zaylee's heartbreak still throbs in my core. A sorrow so strong it could shake the earth. He was supposed to live. She was supposed to be saved. I was going to keep my promises to her. I was going to make Orisha a better place. Focus, Inan. I force out a deep, long breath and count to 10. I can't give up. Magic is still a threat. One only I can end. I race across the dome to Ori's statue. The outcomes run through my mind. If Zale performs the ritual, she'll wipe us out, and then all of Orisha will burn. I can't let that happen. No matter what, my plan remains the same. Take the stone. Take the scroll. Take magic away. I hurl the sunstone toward the ground with all my might. For sky's sake, please shatter! But it rolls away untouched. If anything's to be destroyed, it has to be the scroll. I tear it from my pocket and dart into the frenzy. Zaylee dashes after the stone. With the few seconds of life I have left, the gears in my head turn. Father's old words ring. The scroll can only be destroyed with magic. Magic. What about my magic? I focus the energy of my mind onto the parchment, losing track of Zaylee in the turmoil. A turquoise glow wraps around the weathered scroll. The scent of sage and spearmint fills my nose as a strange memory takes hold of my mind. The hysteria of the temple fades out. A Sentaro's consciousness flashes in. Generations of women with elaborate white ink tattooed into their skin. All chant in a language I cannot comprehend. The memory only lasts an instant, but the attempt is no good. My magic won't do it. The scroll remains unharmed. Help! I spin as shouts ring. Zaylee's shadows skewer more men. Dark matter consumes their bodies as they're bucked from the black arrowheads. Before they crash into the ground, the soldiers disintegrate into ash. In that instant, everything clicks. The answer, hidden in plain sight. Perhaps if I was a burner, my flames could incinerate the parchment. But my connector magic is of no use. The scroll has no mind for me to control, no body for my magic to paralyze. My magic can't eliminate the scroll, but Zaylee's magic can. I've never seen her powers wielded this way. Her magic destroys everything in its path, vicious and twisting, howling as it tears through the sacred temple like a tornado. Its black arrowheads strike with the vengeance of spears, impaling armor, ripping straight through flesh. Anyone unfortunate enough to encounter them crumbles into ash. If I do this right, the scroll shall crumble too. I take a deep breath, one that'll probably be my last. Zaylee's fatal arrowheads shoot through the guts of four soldiers, leaving ruptures through their cores. Their bodies crumble into nothing but dust as they fall to the ground. As Zaylee rips through more soldiers, I run forward. This is all your fault, I yell. Zaylee skids to a halt. I don't think I will ever hate myself more than I do now, but I need to draw this pain out of her. It can't be about us. It never could. Your father didn't have to die, I shout. It's a line that shouldn't be crossed, but I have to unlock her fury. I need a lethal blow. Don't speak of him. Her eyes flash, all grief and hate and rage. Her anguish fills me with shame. Yet I press on. You didn't have to come here. I would have taken him back to Lagos. Shadows spin around her like a sharp wind sweeping into a tornado.
She's close now. My life is nearing its end.
If you trusted me, worked with me, he'd still be alive. Him, I swallow. Mama Agba. The shadows charge me with a speed that takes my breath away. It's all I can do to hold the scroll before my chest. In that instant, she realizes her mistake. The trap I've baited her into. She screams and jerks her hand back. But it's too late. The shadows rip through the parchment as they arc.
No!
Zaylee's shrieks reverberate through the hallowed dome. The ash of the destroyed parchment falls through the air. The shadows wither and fade, disappearing as particles leak through her hands. You did it. The fact doesn't sink in. It's over. I won. Orisha is finally safe. Magic will die for good.
Son!
Father runs to me from the outskirts of the battle. A smile like I've never seen beams on his face. I try to smile back, but a guard closes in behind him. He raises his sword, targeting Father's back.
A mutiny?
No. One of the mercenaries.
Father! I shout. My warning won't reach him in time. Without thinking, I draw on the surge of power left from the sunstone's touch. Blue energy flies from my hands. Like in Chandomblé, my magic pierces through the mercenary's head, paralyzing him in place. I freeze him long enough for a guard to cut through his heart. It saves Father from the attack. But the sight of my magic turns Father to stone.
It's not what you think, I start.
Father jerks back, recoiling like I'm a monster he can't trust. His lips curl back in disgust. Everything in me shrivels.
It doesn't matter.
I speak so quickly it all blurs together. I was infected, but it's going away. I did it. I killed magic.
Father kicks the mercenary over with his feet. He claws at the turquoise crystals left in the assailant's hair. He stares down at his hands and his face twists. I can see him putting the pieces together. These are the same crystals he held in the fortress. The same crystals they plucked from Kaya's corpse. Father's eyes flash. He grips the hilt of his sword.
Wait!
His blade rips into me. Father's eyes pound red with rage. My hands clutch at the sword, but I'm too weak to pull it out.
Father,
I'm sorry. He pulls out his sword with a mangled scream. I drop to my knees, clutching the gushing wound. Warm blood spills from the cracks between my fingers. Father brings his sword up again, this time for the final blow. There's no love in his eyes, no hint of the pride that flashed just moments ago. The same fear and hatred that burned in Kaya's final gaze stains Father's now. I'm a stranger to him. No, I've given up everything to be his son. Father, please, I wheeze. I beg for his forgiveness as I pant. My vision blacks out for a moment. All of Zaylee's pain leaks in. The destroyed fate of the Magi. The death of her father. Her heartache mixes with my own. A sickening reminder of everything I've lost. I've sacrificed too much for it to end this way. All the pain I caused in his name. I reach out to him with a shaking hand, a hand covered in my own blood. It can't be for nothing. It can't end like this. Before I touch him, Father crushes my hand under the heel of his metal boot. His dark eyes narrow. You are no son of mine.
Chapter 82. Amari. Though a dozen men barrel forward, they are no match for the vengeance of my blade. By my side, Zane tears through the guards with his axe, fighting though tears stream down his face. It is through his pain I fight, through Binta's, through every poor soul ended by father's life. All this blood and death, an endless stain on every breath. I rip through the guards with my blade, striking first with a debilitating attack. A guard tumbles when I slice through a tendon. Another falls as I slash at his thigh. Fight, Amari. I spur myself onward, forcing myself to see past the Orishan seals that adorn their armor, past the faces that fall from my sword. These soldiers are sworn to protect Orisha and its crown, yet they betray their sacred vow. They come for my head. One swings a sword at me. I duck and it plunges into his fellow soldier instead. I prepare to strike the next when... No! Zaylee's cries from across the temple force me to pivot just as my blade pierces another soldier. She falls on her knees, shaking, ash spilling between her fingers. I run to help her but skid to a halt as father raises his sword and plunges it into the stomach of one of his own soldiers. As the boy falls to his knees, his helmet slips off. Not a soldier. Inan. Everything inside me runs cold as blood spills from my brother's lips. It is a sword through my own gut. It is my blood that spills. The brother who carried me through the palace halls on his shoulders. The brother who snuck me honey cakes from the kitchen when mother took my dessert away. The brother father forced me to fight. The brother who cut me in the back. It can't be, I blink, waiting for the image to correct itself. Not him. Not the child who gave up everything to be everything father wanted. But as I watch, father raises his sword again, prepared to remove Inan's head. He's taking him away, just like he took Binta.
Father, please.
Inan cries, reaching out with his dying breath. But father steps on his hand and crushes it.
You are no son of mine.
Father!
My voice does not sound like my own as I dash forward. When father spots me, his rage explodes.
The gods have cursed me with you children, he spits. Traitors who stink of my blood.
Your blood is the true curse.
I snap back.
It ends today.
Chapter 83. Amari. Father's first children were loved, but they were frail and weak. When Inan and I were born, father would not allow us to be the same. For years he forced Inan and me to trade blows and bruises under his watchful eye, never relenting, no matter how hard we cried. Every battle was a chance to correct his mistakes, to bring his first family back to life. If we got strong enough, no sword could take us down, no magi could burn our flesh. We fought for his approval, stuck in a battle for his love neither of us would ever win. We raised our swords against each other because neither of us had the courage to raise one against him. Now, as I lift my blade to his rage-fueled eyes, I see Mother and Zane. I see my dear Binta. I find everyone who ever tried to fight back, every innocent soul cut down by his blade. You raised me to fight monsters, I mutter, stepping forward with my sword. It took far too long to understand that the real monster was you. I lunge forward and catch him by surprise. I cannot hold back with him. If I do, I know how this battle ends. Though he raises his sword to parry, I overpower him, slicing dangerously close to his neck. He arches, but I rush him again. Strike, Amari! Fight! I swing my sword in a swift arc, cutting into his thigh. He stumbles back in pain, unprepared for a lethal blow from my sword. I am not the little girl he knows. I am a princess, a queen. I am the Lioner. I push forward, blocking one of Father's jabs at my heart. His strikes are merciless now that he's no longer caught off guard by my attacks. The clinks and clashes of our blades ring above the madness as more guards filter down the stairs. Having slain the men on the ritual ground, Rowan's men fend off the new wave. But as they fight, Zane runs toward me from across the room, only moments away.
Amari!
Go! I urge him, striking back against Father's blade. Zane cannot help me here, not in the fight I have trained for all my life. It is only the king and me now. Only one of us shall live. Father trips. This is my moment. A chance to end our endless dance. Do it now! Blood pounds against my ears as I lunge forward, raising my blade. I can rid Orisha of its greatest monster, abolish the source of its pain. But at the last moment, I hesitate, angling my blade up. Our swords collide head on. Curse the skies. I cannot end it like this. If I do that, I'm no better than him. Orisha will not survive by employing his tactics. Father must be taken down, but it is too much to drive my sword through his heart. Father pulls back his blade. Momentum carries me forward before I can pivot. Father swings his sword around, and the blade rips across my back.
Amari!
Zane's scream sounds distant as I stumble into a secret pillar. My skin burns red hot, searing with the same agony Inan inflicted upon me as a child. Veins bulge from Father's neck as he charges forward. No hesitation as he angles for a killing blow. He does not cringe at the thought of slaughtering his own daughter, his own flesh and blood. He's made his decision. Now it's time for mine. I whip out of harm's way as his sword strikes the pillar, chipping into the stone. Before he can rally, I plunge my sword forward without hesitation. Father's eyes bulge. Hot blood leaks from his heart onto my hands. He wheezes, crimson spurting from his lips as the rest spills across the stone. Though my hand shakes, I plunge the blade in deeper. Tears blur my vision. Do not worry, I whisper as he takes his last breath. I will make a far better queen. Chapter 84. Zaylee.
Come on,
I channel all my energy into the dust of the destroyed parchment. This can't be happening. Not when we're this close. Baba's energy surges into my arms, bursting through my fingertips as twisting shadows. But no parchment rises from the ashes. It's over. We lost. The horror hits so hard, I can hardly breathe. The one thing we need, destroyed by my hand. No, 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 no! I close my eyes and try to remember the incantation. I read that scroll dozens of times. How did that damn ritual start? Iya awon orun awa omo kepe oloni. No. I shake my head, combing through fragments of remembered words. It was awa omo ore kepe oloni. And then, oh gods, what came next? A sharp clap rings through the dome, rumbling like thunder. As it pounds, the entire temple shakes. Everyone freezes as stone and dust rain from the ceiling. Yemonja's statue begins to glow, blinding in its shine. The light starts at her bare feet, travels up the curves and folds of her carved robes. When it reaches her eyes, her golden sockets glow bright blue, bathing the dome in its soft color. Ogun's statue shimmers to life next, eyes glowing in dark greens. Shango's comes in fiery reds, Oshumare's in bright yellows. A chain, I breathe, following the path to Sky Mother. Oh my gods! The solstice. It's happening now. I paw at the ashes, looking for anything, everything. The ancient ritual was painted on this scroll. Shouldn't the spirits of the Centauros who painted it be here as well? But as I wait for the chill of the dead to overcome me, I realize the number of corpses there are strung across the dome. I didn't feel their deaths pass through me. I didn't feel anything at all. All I felt was Baba, the magic in my blood. A connection. The realization hits me like ice. A connection I share with him because of blood. The scroll's incantation was supposed to tether us to Sky Mother through magic. But what if there was another way to reach her instead? My mind spins, trying to calculate the possibilities. Could I draw on the connection with my ancestors through our blood? Could we reach back, forging a new connection to Sky Mother and her gifts through our spirits? Amari dives past, fending a soldier away from the ritual ground. Though blood drips from her back, her blows are ferocious, almost feral against the coming guards. And even as the entire army pours in, Rowan and his men don't relent. They fight against all odds. If they haven't given up, neither can I. My heart slams against my chest as I scramble to my feet. The next statue illuminates, bathing the dome in blue light. Only a few dark gods stand in Sky Mother's way. The end of the solstice is near. I grab the fallen sunstone and it scalds under my touch. Instead of Sky Mother, I see blood. I see bone. I see Mama. It's that image I hold on to as I drop the sunstone in the single golden column in the center of the dome. If her blood surges through my veins, why not the blood of other ancestors too? I whip out the true bone dagger from the waistline of my pants and slice through both my palms. With bleeding hands, I press onto the sunstone, releasing the binding blood for the ultimate sacrifice. Help! I scream out loud, drawing on their strength. Please, lend me your hand! Like an erupting volcano, the power of my ancestors flows through me,
Magi and Kosidan alike. Each grips onto our connection, onto the very heart of our blood. Their spirits twirl with mine, with Mama's, with Baba's. We pour ourselves forward, our souls fighting into the stone. More! I scream to them, calling on all spirits linked by our blood. I dig through our lineage, clawing all the way back to those who first received Sky Mother's gifts. As each new ancestor surges forward, my body screams. My skin tears like it's being pulled apart. But I need it. I need them. Their voices begin to ring, a chorus of the living dead. I wait to hear the words inked onto the destroyed scroll, but they chant an incantation I've never read. Their strange words echo through my head, through my heart, through my soul. They fight their way onto my lips, though I don't know what the incantation will do. Awa ni omo, reninu ejeati egungun. Spiritual pathways explode within me. I fight through my screams to get the words out as the sunstone buzzes beneath my hands. The light travels up Sky Mother's chest, over the hand holding her horn. It's almost over. The solstice is almost at an end. Atide! Ikaniwa! Dawapo mama! Ki itana watan pelu ebun aniye relikansi! My throat closes up, making it hard to breathe, let alone speak. But I force myself to continue, channeling everything I have left. Jeki Agbara Idanwa Tankari, I shout as the light zips up Sky Mother's collarbone. The voices sing so loud in my mind that the whole world must be able to hear. They push for the last of the incantation, desperate as the glow crosses the bridge of Sky Mother's nose. With their blood, I can finish this. With their blood, I am unstoppable. Tani mole aye li can see. The light reaches Sky Mother's eyes and bursts with a white glow as the last of my incantation rings. The sunstone shatters in my hands. Its yellow light explodes through the room. I can't tell what's happening. I don't know what I've done. But as the light invades every fiber of my being, the whole world shines. Creation swirls before my eyes. The birth of man, the origin of the gods. Their magic crashes into the room in waves, a rainbow of every vibrant hue. Magic shatters through every heart, every soul, every being. It connects us all, threading through the shell of humanity. The power sears into my skin. Its ecstasy and agony flow at once, indistinguishable from pleasure and pain. As it fades, I see the truth. In plain sight, yet hidden all along. We are all children of blood and bone. All instruments of vengeance and virtue. This truth holds me close, rocking me like a child in a mother's arms. It binds me in its love as death swallows me into its grasp. Chapter 85. Zeli. I always picture death as a winter wind, but heat surrounds me like the oceans of Ilorin. A gift, I think, into the peace and darkness of Alafia. Payment for my sacrifice. What other reward could there be but an end to an endless fight? Mama, Orisa Mama,
Orisha mama awa undu pepe egbo igbewa.
Voices hum through my skin as the rich sound rings through the blackness. Silver shrouds of light swirl into the darkness, bathing me in their beautiful notes. As the song continues, a snowflake of light falls through the darkness with a voice that sings louder than the others. It leads them in worship and praise, ringing through the shrouds.
Mama, mama, mama.
The light's voice is smooth, like silk, soft like velvet. It wraps itself around my form, drawing me to its warmth. And though I can't feel my body, I float through the blackness toward it. I've heard this sound before. I know this voice, this love. The song grows louder and louder, fueling the light. It evolves from a snowflake, taking shape before my eyes. Her feet emerge first, skin black as the night sky. It's radiant against her red silk robes, rich and flowing on her unearthly form. Gold jewelry drips from her wrists, her ankles, her neck. All highlight the shimmering headdress hanging from her forehead. I bow as the chorus rings, unable to believe I lie at Oya's feet. But when the goddess lifts the headdress embedded in her thick mane of white hair, her dark brown eyes make my heart stop.
The last time I saw these eyes, they were empty, void of the woman I loved. Now they dance, shimmering tears falling from their lids. Mama!
It can't be. Though my mother wore the face of the sun, she was human. She was a part of me. But when this spirit touches my face, the familiar love spreads through my body. Tears fall from her beautiful brown eyes as she whispers, "Hello, my little Zael." Hot tears sting my eyes as I collapse into her spiritual embrace. Her warmth soaks into my being, making every crack whole. I feel all the tears I've cried, every prayer I've ever sent. I see every time I looked up in our Ahire and wished she sat there, looking back.
"I thought you were gone," I croak.
"You are a sister of Oya, my love. You know our spirits never die." She pulls me back and wipes my tears with her soft robes. "I have always been with you, always by your side." I clutch at her, as if at any moment her spirit might slip through my fingers. If I'd known she waited for me in death, I would have embraced it, run toward it. With her is everything I ever wanted, the peace she took with her when she died. With her, I'm finally safe. After all this time, I'm home. She runs her hands over my braids before kissing my forehead. "You will never know how proud we are of everything you've done." "We?" She smiles. "Baba's here now."
"He's okay?"
I ask. "Yes, my love. He's at peace." I can't blink away the new tears fast enough. I know few men who deserve peace more. Did he know his spirit would end in this grace, beside the woman he loved? "Mama, mama, mama." The voices sing louder.
Mama holds me again, and I breathe in her scent. After all this time, she still smells of warm spices and sauces, the mixture she brewed in her jollof rice. What you did in the temple is unlike anything the spirits have ever seen. I didn't recognize the incantation. I shake my head. I don't know what I did. Mama takes my face in her hands and kisses my forehead. You will learn soon, my mighty Zael. And through it all, I will never leave your side. No matter what you feel, what you face when you think you're alone. Zain, I realize. First Mama, then Baba, now me? We can't leave him, I gasp. How do we bring him here? Mama, Orisa Mama, Orisa Mama. Mama's grip on me tightens as the voices grow louder, almost deafening now. Creases wrinkle across her smooth forehead. He doesn't belong here, my love. Not yet.
But Mama...
Neither do you. The singing voices blare so loudly, I can't tell if they're praises or screams. My insides twist as Mama's words hit.
Mama! No! Please!
Zael? I cling to her again, fear choking my throat.
I want this. I want to stay here with you and Baba.
I can't go back to that world. I won't survive that pain. Zael, Orisha still needs you.
I don't care. I need you.
Her words grow hurried as her light begins to fade with the chorus of heavenly voices. All around us, the blackness brightens, drowning in a wave of light.
Mama, don't leave me. Please, Mama, not again.
Her dark eyes sparkle as tears fall, their warmth landing on my face. It's not over, little Zael. It's only just begun. Epilogue. When I open my eyes, I want them to close. I want to see my mother. I want to be wrapped in the warm blackness of death, not gazing at the purple hues staining the open sky. The air above me seems to sway back and forth, gently rocking my form. It's a glide I'd know anywhere, the ebb and flow of the sea. As realization takes hold, burns and aches sear into every cell of my body. The pain is stark, the pain that accompanies life. A moan escapes my lips and footsteps pound.
She's alive!
In an instant, faces crowd my sight. Amari's hope, Zane's relief. When they pull away, Rowan and his smirk remain.
Kenyon, I manage to speak. Kato? Rahima?
They're alive, Rowan assures me. They're waiting on the ship.
With his help, I sit up against the cold wood of the rowboat we used to dock on the sacred island. The sun dips below the horizon, masking us in the shadow of night. A flash of the sacred temple surges through my mind, and I brace myself for the question I'm too terrified to ask. I lock onto Zane's dark brown eyes. Failure will sting the least from his lips.
Did we do it? Is magic back? He stills. His silence sinks my heart in my chest. After all that, after Inan, after Baba,
it didn't work,
I force out. But Amari shakes her head. She holds up a bleeding hand, and in the darkness, it swirls
with vibrant blue light. A white streak crackles like lightning in her black hair. For a moment, I don't know what to make of the sight. Then, my blood chills to ice.